Hey, everybody, and welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. Most people refer to starting their own company as taking the leap as if they're blindly jumping off a cliff and into the unknown. This show is here to help you understand that it doesn't have to be that way. As always, if you like what you're hearing on the show, please do us a favor and help share The Void with somebody else who might be wanting to start their own business. We saw an opportunity to help others understand that self-employment is well within your reach, and just as our businesses have grown organically and by word of mouth, we want this show to grow the same way. So if you see somebody asking questions about starting their own service-based business, please do us a favor and send them a link to the show. I'm your host, Mitch Smedley, and with me as always is David Hilton.
You think Austin is going to roll from the very beginning of this conversation?
You never know.
Are you going to make him just like go to the cut and be like,
you know,
okay, no, we're starting
either getting
right
into this
here.
Show now, or you're getting into this show 20 minutes ago.
You know there's that saying that like the worst person to make fun of or make upset is the editor, no matter where you're at.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Just makes you say a lot
camera
of cuss words.
10 pounds, huh?
Yeah. Look at this fat ass. Like he just starts putting those little like balloons above your head with weird sayings.
Yeah.
Like,
no, I do a thing where
such a douche.
Like Mitch does an insult and I cut that footage from you in the podcast where you start crying.
That'd be
in the
perfect.
Soccer game.
That would be perfect. Oh my God.
Dude, I got accused of crying last weekend. So I got super sensitive eyes. Always have
you
to.
Too.
Always like, have to have sunglasses. Now, I learned last weekend that it has something to do with blue eyes. If you have blue eyes, apparently you're really sensitive to light.
Well, they absorb more. It's like wearing white versus wearing black. It's
right.
The same thing.
So, like, forever, if I go outside and I don't have sunglasses on, like, it's the worst thing ever with customers because I'm, like, squinting and my eyes are almost all the way closed, or sometimes I have to, like, turn around and get into a shadow and talk to them or whatever, and my eyes will just start watering like crazy. We go to a wedding last weekend.
Okay? I love where
here,
this
come
is,
to this dark room with me.
I love where this goes.
So, we go to...
Do you remember you used to carry around clear eyes all the time?
Yeah.
Because your eyes would get hurt and they'd be like bright red.
Yeah.
And he didn't smoke weed.
No. It was just super sensitive eyes.
Yeah.
So we go to a wedding last weekend and it's an outdoor wedding and it's a beautiful day. It's like 80 degrees.
What are you talking about?
2 weekends ago, I guess.
Was it 2 weekends ago?
No, it was last weekend. It was last Friday. So
Danielle's sister.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so we go to this wedding and they tell us like 10 minutes before we walk out for the ceremony, they're like, oh, by the way, groomsmen. I was a groomsman in the wedding. They're like, by the way, groomsman, you can't wear sunglasses. The ring bearers can, but the groomsman can't. And I'm like, fuck.
Uh-oh.
Right? And so we walk out there and immediately it's like, and part of this is my paranoia. Like I focus on the white concrete and that's super bright. I focus on the white wedding dress. That's super bright. Everyone's wearing white and black.
Yeah.
And it's like, everything's hitting me. And like, I got tears rolling down my eyes. Like when we're walking down the path
and it was, you know, it's still ragweed season.
Oh,
like
yeah.
Until today, like it's been bad.
Oh yeah.
Like wake up in the night, like,
and so we're standing there in front of everybody and I'm like sobbing, like just water's just rolling. And, and then like, you know how anatomy works, right? When your eyes get all welled up, your nose starts running everything. And so like, it's just coming out of everywhere. And so they bow their head to Austin's trying to play with his mic.
I don't know what the fuck he's doing.
My mic would just stopped working.
That's a shame.
The
cables.
You cut it cleaner next
time. I'm just picturing like sunglass contacts and how weird that would look.
And so like the bride's not even walking down the aisle yet and I'm crying, right? And then my son sees me tears running down my eyes and so he starts crying.
Okay.
And then, so the ceremony gets over.
Mason or Grant?
Grant.
Oh, he is pretty sensitive.
So the ceremony gets over, and everybody's like, Mitch, you were bawling like a baby. And I'm like, I wasn't, like, nobody believes me. It's like, I wasn't emotional. Like, it was literally the sun in my eyes, and nobody believes
me. And you were looking at everything that was, like, bright. It's kind of like when someone says, don't look at this. You're looking at it.
Yeah,
it's
like,
funny.
Like, this smells like shit. Smell it.
Yeah. This tastes like a butthole. You want to lick it?
Try it.
Yeah, lick it.
It's like one of those, like, all the worst case scenarios happen. Like, a white van drives by.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm super emotional. I cry all the time.
Yeah.
I don't care. It doesn't fucking bother me.
Well, here's the thing.
Just like, yeah, whatever.
I got no problems admitting when I do, right? This was just like, this really wasn't it.
I don't know what you're doing back there, but could you get your shit together?
Sorry, I'm like testing because my mic keeps cutting in and out. I think it's good right here. I'm sorry, guys.
This fucking kid, man. Where did you find him?
And we've got ADD and dyslexia all rolled into one.
Hey.
Oh, I thought you were talking about you, ADD. Him, You know what? Never mind.
No, I'm probably both.
No, that's Dave's game plan. He's like, well, I don't want to say. The game plan is like,
you know what they call that? Austin. That's called projecting, right? Yes. I have ADD and dyslexia, so I'm going to say you do.
Yes. Right? I know what projecting is. Yes. Continue, sir. So they're making fun of you. You're a big baby. Yeah. Got it. Understood. Hey, where's my phone? I'm a Facebook post right now. Mitch is a big baby.
On the side note of that, it was like an amazing venue. It was beautiful. They had like this open house. They do these open houses like once a month where you get to come in and you see the venue all set up and they're serving you wine and they've got sample food out there and everything. It was beautiful, right? We get there for the venue and the lady that owns the place, that runs the place, is like a super bitch.
I need some more. I got to have some context, bro.
So like, anybody who's ever been a part of a wedding knows that the bridal party, the girls, all show up early, and it's a whole thing to like do your hair with the other girls and do your makeup with the other girls and get dressed with the other girls. And you got a photographer photographing your day, and you've got your coffee, and you're in your pre-wedding.
Yeah,
like,
the biggest waste of time and money ever.
Right.
Understood.
So the lady that runs the venue is like literally being a Nazi about everything. She's like, oh my gosh, you didn't steam your dress before the wedding. Do not set that steamer down on my carpet. And then she's like, you didn't do your hair before the wedding. Do not set that curling iron down on my carpet. This is cashmere. And if you ruin a spot, we have to replace all the carpet.
Of course you did.
Was it real cashmere? Like, did you go look? Was it super nice?
That's nice.
Man.
But it's like, lady, these are all 20 and 30 year old women. I'm pretty sure they know not to set a fucking curling iron down on the carpet.
First off, no, they fucking don't. How many homes have you been into as a service plumber and half the fucking vanity is melted?
Yeah, I'll say this.
Stop.
Smart people put a ceramic tile on the bottom of that drawer, but it is what it is. So then, like, she's running some kind of Nazi play 24/7, 365. She was very concerned about how the decorations were installed because no holes, no tape, no nothing. Like, the decorations gotta be sitting there, right?
Tape? You can't have no scotch tape?
No tape because it could pull the paint off the wall. Mm. Okay? So
should have brought some blue or green frog tape.
The bride and groom made this amazing seating chart so everybody would know where to sit. And keep them from having to walk all over the room and find their name, right?
I hate that shit.
And so they made this really cool seating chart that was like, table 11, here's your name. Since now you just go look for table 11, and the tables were clearly numbered. The lady who runs the place didn't want the seating chart in view of anybody. So she made him put it like back around the corner outside.
What does it matter to her?
I don't know.
Did you ask her like, look, bitch? What the fuck is your problem?
They have this really cool stone fireplace in the place, and they wanted this big white bow over the fireplace. And it's stone, and so I found, like, if I took two screws and wedged them in between two stones, I could hang a bow on it. No holes, no nothing. I could take the bow off, pull the screws out, right? I literally get done hanging the bow, and she's like, how did you attach that bow to my fireplace?
It's just looped on a rock.
And I'm like, it's actually pretty cool. Like, I pulled the bow off and I pulled the screws out from the little crack that they were in. And she was like, okay, that's nice. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's the only thanks we got all day, right?
Yeah. So then, look at Mitch going in, pleasing the old ladies.
10 minutes before we're all supposed to start walking down the aisle, she walks into both the bridal room and the groom's room, you know, because you kind of get your separate areas, right?
Right, yeah.
And she says, all right, everybody needs to clean up and run everything to your cars. This room needs to be spotless before the ceremony starts.
How about I stab you in the face, Karen? Like,
it's like, lady, we have this place until midnight. It's 7.
Yeah.
Like, I'm pretty sure we're good.
Yeah.
Right? She basically had the ceremony started. So we had the ceremony, and then the reception moves to their, like, reception hall.
Yeah, of course.
The reception starts. We're literally not even 5 minutes into the reception. They just announced the bridal party.
So everyone goes over. Everyone's sitting down, probably having cocktails. Then the bridal party comes, and they announce them.
They announce the bride and groom.
Okay, 10 minutes in.
During their first dance, she walks up to me, and she's like, can we go ahead and start disassembling that seating chart now?
What's the matter with the seating chart?
I don't know. But I'm like, lady, I'm trying to enjoy the wedding here. Like,
Like,
we'll get it.
You know what you should have done? You should have been like, you know what? Can you come to a closet with me for just a little bit and tie her fucking ass up and be like, why don't you fucking stay in here, bitch?
So the lady was like a super bitch the whole time.
Let me ask you. I have questions about the super bitch.
Yeah.
How old do you think she was?
60s.
60s.
Yeah.
Do you think she was just super OCD, ADHD?
Yeah. It's one of those like...
Like it physically bothers her, so she has to say things.
Yeah.
You should look out, buddy.
Yeah.
Because it only gets worse when you get older.
Don't be that guy. So Grant, we show up the night before for the rehearsal.
Oh, did Grant get in trouble at a
wedding? No.
Okay.
So they have this big, giant pond in front of their property.
Oh, shit. He's got his fishing gear.
So he sees the pond, and he immediately looks at me, and he's like, Dad, did you bring my fishing gear? And I'm like, no. And we're focused on a wedding.
No. First off, the audacity of him to think that you just loaded his gear
in the truck. So then...
You spoiled ass turds.
Then the next day for the wedding...
Oh, he brings it?
He brought all of his shit.
Oh,
right?
Fuck. Did he ask?
And so I told him, I'm like, look, the way she is, it's probably a no. Like, be ready for a no. You have to ask and all this stuff. So then I get a text from him.
He didn't even ask. He's just out there fishing.
No, he was like, I found her husband. She seems like she says no to everything. Her husband's actually really cool. I asked him, and he said, as long as she doesn't see you, you can go fishing.
She doesn't see you.
So there he is out there in their pond just reeling them in, and he's sending me photos of all the fish he's catching.
You know what? I'm a little hurt. He gets his phone back. He goes fishing. He doesn't text me any photos.
I need to have him text you photos.
No, I'll text. I'll be like, hey, dog. Hey, what the? Like, we had this conversation.
We had
like,
an agreement,
man.
He's a professional kid. Like, he knows how to get it.
You know what? I can't tell if I'm proud of him or worried for his future.
No, I'm not worried. Not worried. He'll be good.
Just be a little manipulator. Just like, I don't know how to work this system. Fuck these motherfuckers.
There was a YouTuber I followed who did videos in New York, like vlogging and stuff. And if you put on like an orange vest, you can get anywhere in New York.
Yeah.
So he put on an orange vest and he'd go up and...
He'd get into concerts, skyscrapers. Orange vest and carry a ladder and you can get into any event you want.
So he'd go up forever. Skyscrapers under construction. Like, he'd go everywhere, but he'd just put on a blue vest.
Yep.
Or you put like press.
Orange
vest and a 4-foot ladder. Yep. Get you in anywhere, baby.
Yeah, you can get in anywhere.
Hey, construction crew, man. Hey, yeah. Peace, brother.
Yep. So we're here to work on the thing. Who called you? I don't know. I'm just sitting here by my boss.
But to have
they said it's on the 13th floor.
But to have a good time, you got to get rid of that ladder. That ladder was $90.
Well, you just set it up under a ceiling tile and lift a ceiling tile, and they think you're up in the ceiling. Done.
And just hope it stays there the whole time, and then on the way out, grab it?
Yeah, grab it on the way out. Depending on the price of the event, maybe you just donate a ladder.
That's what I mean. Like $90, I could probably get a ticket.
Yeah, $250 tickets, $40 ladder.
I miss the old days, like in the 90s, late 90s, even early 2000s. Man, you could go to a...
Wells Fargo, rob banks, no security can't.
This fucking guy. You could literally just go to like any of those summer concert series and see like 5 great bands for $25.
Yeah.
Like, what happened to that?
Yeah, what was the 98.9 concert that always... Rockfest.
Oh, yeah, Rockfest.
Oh. Yeah. It was a two-day event. They'd have like 25 bands over 2 days, and they were like...
No, they were one day. Theirs was one day.
Was it one day?
Ozfest was usually 2 days. They had Vans Warped Tour. Like, and they were all
Rockfest
like
$12,
man.
Yeah, Rockfest was like under $20 tickets, and you got to see amazing bands.
It was fucking insane.
I mean, they were the best bands of the era.
And now you got
to... And I'm sure Rockfest still goes on. I just don't listen to the show anymore. They don't?
No, they quit doing it.
Yeah.
It's like, crazy. Now you gotta pay $250 to see fucking three shaggy ass shithole bands and like,
yeah, I
pay $8 a beer. And
I paid $400 for a pair of tickets to see Brooks and Dunn.
Was it a good show?
No, it was a good show. It was a real good show.
$200?
$200 for a pair of tickets. Like third ring, back in the back.
Man.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Like, I can sit in my house with my really nice speakers and have a better audio experience.
I'm not much of a concert guy. Like, I enjoy them, but I don't like seek them out.
Yeah, I used to be. It just became like,
yeah,
it's just over the top.
Yeah,
like, you guys just fucking play.
But
could
like,
you shut up and fucking play.
Even like last week, you and I went to the Monday Night Football game, and we were talking about it. Like, yes, going to the games is fun.
Hey, if you like what you're hearing on The Void and you want even more info, we just started a mentorship program specifically for trades professionals to start their business or to get their business to an incredibly healthy position. So if you'd like more info, click on the link in the description of this show.
Oh, we had a good time.
However, I still really enjoy watching them on TV.
Yeah.
Because I want the non-biased replays, and I want the stats and the analysis and the breakdown, and you don't get any of that in the stadium.
Well, and that's, the NFL has done a great job of that. It's two different experiences, but both of the experiences are very high end, right? They're just different.
Yeah.
Like when you go to the game, it's a party, it's having fun. If you have good seats, you can see everything. It's great. It's just fantastic. When you are at home, you see every little detail, every little nuance. You're enveloped into the game.
Yep.
It's just, they're two different experiences.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter. Either one you choose, you're having a great time.
Yeah.
Have you noticed this year too, they've had all their Monday Night Football games on 9?
Yeah.
And like, I think it had one that wasn't on 9. It was on ESPN only. But even then, they've realized, okay, satellites rolling away, cables rolling away.
Oh, yeah, now
it's antenna. So they put the games on antenna TV, and then you can still have your Hulu and your Prime and all that, and like don't have to have the cable, but you can still access the NFL. That's how sports do well.
Right.
Like the NBA has got to get back on that too, because they're TBS and TNT.
MLB has to get back on it.
Dude,
the Royals are in the postseason and you can't watch them locally.
I don't even want to
talk
about it. Unless
you pay for services.
It's insane. Like,
yeah. One of the local...
I heard Bally's isn't going to promote the games next year, or they're not going to be on Bally Sports.
I don't know.
So I don't know what the fuck they're going to do. Put them on 38. Goddamn.
One of the local sports guys that's local to Kansas City, but he's kind of like a... He's not really a writer, maybe a columnist. I don't know. But
does he still do local sports radio? Or
he's basically like Kansas City's biggest privateer into the information about the Chiefs. And I would say his name, but I can't pronounce it. I'll show you who he is on Facebook. How do you pronounce that?
I have no fucking clue.
It's like Farzan Valsahane.
I have no idea.
But he's got 102,000 followers.
Never even heard of him.
It's like German.
And like his shit's Gaelic. Good. He doesn't like, if he posts it, it's factual, right? He does a really good job of checking the credibility of anything he posts and everything else. But he posted something the other day. It was before the NFL season, like right at the beginning of the NFL season. And he says, based off of current contract agreements, it would cost you, it was either like $700 or $800 in subscription fees to watch every NFL game this year.
Yeah.
By the time you bought all the Hulus and all the Amazons and all the YouTube TVs and everything that you would have to buy, it would be like $700 or $800 in subscription fees to watch all the games.
What about ESPN Plus?
They're all like, it's convoluted.
You can watch
all
that stuff on ESPN Plus, unless it's blacked out,
right,
which is fucking horse shit.
Right. But even then, like to get ESPN Plus, you got to pay upgraded fees to your cable company. It's not like you just have ESPN Plus.
Well, ESPN Plus is an app.
Right. Right. So, but like we have ESPN Plus on AT&T.
Cable.
I think our provider's AT&T.
Oh, I thought you guys had Comcast.
We switched providers recently. I don't even know who we switched to. I know why we switched is because the rates just kept going through the roof.
Yeah, we don't have it anymore.
Danielle switched, and now I don't know what channel's what. And so there's a microphone button. Like, whatever provider
it
is.
Can I please watch the Kansas City Chiefs?
Yeah.
And it just shows
like,
up.
You literally like, hit the microphone button, and you just say, like, NFL, and it'll show you all the NFL games. And
yeah.
I have no clue what channels anymore.
I shut our DirecTV off, like, 2 years ago. I bought one of those antennas.
Yeah.
That just like mounts on the side of the house. I get 4, 5, 9, like 38, 41, all the local channels, right?
Yep.
And I can watch every NFL game on there except for Thursday night is on Prime. And we have Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
So I can watch that.
We've got the streaming ones, but
drives me insane.
Since we run the business out of our house, we have to have like super powerful internet. And then our provider.
That's a weird thing to say.
Well, it is.
You're not.
But like we need all the speed because like we podcast out of here, I Zoom call out of here and everything else, and the family's doing their internet stuff while I'm doing this, right? So I can't be like, family, stop being a part of the 2020 era, and you know what I mean?
I get it. Our internet, we can literally, I can stream two movies and Zoom call with you. It's $50 a month.
Right, right. So like, for us to do all of that, like for to add TV on was only like another 20 or 25 bucks a month. Like,
well, then yeah, you add.
They nail you on the internet thing, yeah. And then it's like, oh, by the way, TV is only 20 bucks more. And it's like, okay.
Yeah, I'll
take it. So we get the fancy TV because we buy the top internet package. But
yeah, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
Must be UVerse then. You must have AT&T.
I think we dumped AT. I think it's Comcast.
I don't like how ours is like, we only have a couple options, and like the download speed is fine, but it's the upload speed is like what concerns me, is because
you're uploading videos.
I'm uploading.
Yeah.
Because I'm all video and stuff. Yeah. So just like, it'll be like download speed of all this. And then all of a sudden it's like upload speed is like 10.
Yeah. Well, ours is 98% of consumers are downloading. Yeah. They're not uploading.
Yeah. I'm like the 2% that's like,
I have the, is ours Verizon? No, it's T-Mobile. We have T-Mobile.
Apparently Google Fiber is like
wireless internet, but it's 300 down and 35 up.
Yeah, and the thing is, I'm concerned with the up because that's like all that.
35 up will do like a lot.
Yeah.
It just takes a while.
The files that I'm pushing through on some things, it's like.
It's crazy. So we've lived in that house. I bought that property 7 years ago, right? And we're kind of out in the sticks, but not in the sticks, right? They just now ran cable out there.
Yeah.
They had DSL.
Yep.
Like, they wouldn't even let me hook up to it. They're like, no, that's going to die. You'd call AT&T and they were like, oh, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. They haven't been out there. And then now Spectrum's out there.
Yeah.
Like, just running it out the ass.
Last time,
I think it was part of that infrastructure bill. And so they're just running it fucking everywhere.
Everywhere. There was a...
I still don't have it.
So ironically, just the other day, and we talked about this a little bit on some of our Tradewind stuff. Yesterday, we got an emergency call from a customer, a potential customer. They're a directional boring company, and they're installing fiber optics around Lake Tapawingo. Lake Tapawingo.
Over off 40 Highway?
Over off 40 in Woods Chapel.
Yeah.
And
they're taking over the world. Spectrum stock, get it.
Most lake communities are on a sewer force main.
Yep.
Because
they pump up and then they pump out.
Yeah. Usually. Yeah. You first here on the lake, you can't have gravity. Eventually your sewer would be deeper than the water level, the water table.
Yeah.
And you can't have that. Right.
Yeah.
And so, their directional boring company that's installing this fiber struck their 4-inch force main, and they called us up to fix it. And it was a total setup for somebody that was either not going to pay the bill or take forever to pay the bill.
Man, can you imagine just shit pumping out of a 4-inch line.
Yeah, spraying out of it, right? Now, they glanced it.
Oh.
They didn't pierce it.
Oh, like, well, then throw some tape on that bitch and roll on.
Oh, God, whatever. But
epoxy that motherfucker.
But it was the total setup of somebody that was either going to not ever going to pay or take forever to pay, because they wanted us to start work without a signed agreement. They wanted us to drop what we were doing and start right away. You're hearing one thing from the foreman. You're hearing a different thing from the office and all this stuff.
What was the? Can I ask you what the company was?
I don't know. There's so
was
many.
Was it Lantel?
No. There's so many tiny.
There's a ton of them. That's why I'm asking.
Right. Well, even like Lantel subcontracts to small companies. And so, this was like Scott's Communications or something like that. It was some small company. But
guy bought one bore rig. He's like, I'm a pro.
Yeah. And meanwhile,
oh, shit, sewer line.
They're like, we haven't signed your agreement yet, but we want your crew out here right now. We've got a vac truck. The city's bringing a vac truck, and you need to bring your own vac truck. We're going to need 3 vac trucks to keep up with the demand that's in this force main and all this. And it's like, you guys are asking a whole lot, but you're not signing our agreement that says payment due upon completion of service.
Yeah. Why don't you lick my butt?
And finally, it was like, we will not start working until you sign the agreement. And they would refuse to sign the agreement. And so we walked away from the job.
Bent.
It was like $5,000 to $13,000 was our bid.
Because yeah, but if you're doing it, you can't say it that way. Because if you're doing it for free, your bid was zero.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I mean, we gave them a bid that was like guaranteed not to exceed 13 grand. It will at least be 5 grand.
Yeah.
And they were like,
ooh, 5 grand. Fuck, I ain't signing shit.
Yeah. And meanwhile, exactly, they're like, we need you to start right now. We can't, like, we told them we could be here first thing in the morning this morning. This was yesterday.
Oh, okay.
And we told them we could be there first thing in the morning the next day. And they were like, no, we need you to do it now. We don't want this thing to leak into the lake overnight. And it's like, it's not going to leak into the lake. Like, they barely hit it.
Yeah.
And like, after 3 hours, the ditch was only half full of water. I'm like, dude, you could pump this thing out two or three times overnight and we could be out here tomorrow.
I don't understand. What pipe was it?
It's a 4-inch.
No, type of pipe.
4-inch Schedule 40 PVC.
And it barely filled the ditch in 3 hours?
Yeah. I mean, keep in mind, like, so force mains, they're not under constant 24/7 pressure.
I know.
It's more like head pressure than anything else, like static head.
They're on a lift station. The majority of the time.
Yeah, so this one is one of the ones where each individual house, their pump pushes all the sewage uphill.
Oh, together.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So each individual house has a pump. When your pump gets full, it turns on, it pushes into the main, and whatever contents is in the main, it shoves your volume of contents uphill that high.
Yeah.
And spills it into a gravity manhole at that point.
My point is, run to all those houses. There are disconnects on the outside of the house on a lot of them.
Yeah.
They have the light. Shut them all off. Run over there with the Sawzall. Cut the section out. Put a fucking coupling on it and walk the fuck away.
That's what our plan was.
Yeah.
And
for $5,000. And they were like, these motherfuckers.
5 to 13. Because.
You never know. I get it.
The isolation valves.
I'm on your side.
You know, we told them it's going to be at least 5. It may be as much as 13, depending on how much volume comes out of this pipe when we cut open it.
My point is, people they're scared to death to do anything new. Like, just cut the fucking pipe in half and fucking deal with it.
Yeah.
Like, you literally wasted 3 hours them trying to dick, not you wasted, they did.
Yeah.
Trying to dick with you, get you there, trying to not pay this and that. You could have had it fucking done.
Right. Well, they may not know plumbing very well. And maybe they were forbidden.
You say I don't either. Cut the fucking pipe and glue the bitch
together. Maybe they were forbidden from being able to work on it. Maybe the city was like, no, you damaged our plumbing. You're a utility, you're a fiber contractor. We're bringing in plumbers to fix our plumbing.
Yeah, maybe.
So who knows?
Don't ever call the city. Unless you hit gas.
I don't even call the city for that because the city doesn't own the gas. So the gas company does.
That's true. Fuck it. Move on.
I call my neighbor and I'm like, hey, can you come over and do me a favor?
Do you want to talk about like, something specific?
Yeah.
Or do you want to just ramble for a while?
I do.
Okay.
You've been rambling forever.
I know.
And depending on where Austin decides to start the show, we're either an hour in or 26 minutes in.
I think it should be an hour in. I think we missed a lot of good shit at the beginning of the show.
So.
Yeah, so 30 is 34 minus 7. So.
So.
It's 27. I'm going to unplug his mic again.
What I want to talk about is, for those that have been living on Mars, no pun intended,
for the
last few weeks, Elon Musk and his company, SpaceX, just did one of the coolest things ever, where they returned a rocket booster back to Earth in the exact same place that it left.
Without it exploding.
Without it exploding and in the exact same position.
Yeah.
Okay. So a lot of times, rockets will take off in Cape Canaveral, Florida, and then land in Houston. Okay? NASA, right?
Are you talking about the space shuttle?
Yes.
That used to land that we don't have anymore?
We don't have anymore.
Yeah.
But a lot of times they were two completely different locations, and also the rocket boosters to get the space shuttle up into outer space.
They expelled and then they burned up and reentry.
And they would burn up and reentry
or
they would fall back to Earth, depending on which boosters it was. They would fall back to Earth and they would have to go retrieve them out of the ocean, and it was a crazy expensive thing.
Yes.
And so Musk has already been able to take his boosters and return them back to Earth. They extract their own landing gear and they land on a pad.
Yeah.
Safely.
Yeah.
He's also been able to get them to land on moving floating targets in the ocean.
I want to be specific here. His team. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh,
he's
credit.
The leader of his team.
Give credit where credit's due.
Right.
Those guys are working hard.
Right. And so.
This goes to the importance of hiring a good team,
yes.
By the way. Like,
that
could be a whole nother conversation.
And so now he's taken his rocket boosters and he's been able to return them back into their original starting location. And they're already in position to launch again. Now, they're not ready to launch again, right? They have inspections. They've got everything they have to go through.
It's like the helicopter that can only fly so many hours before it has to go through a rebuild and all that. Every launch, they got to do all the, extra stuff.
But they're already there, right? So they've eliminated the whole logistical thing. They've eliminated all of that stuff.
Yeah.
And so this is just on top of all of his other accomplishments, right? Like, nobody thinks you can go buy a social media platform. Musk did, right? Nobody thinks you can...
Are you tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? The Void Podcast has negotiated exclusive rates for the Void listeners. This program's tailored for trade businesses like yours. And if you're using House Call Pro, switch and you can expect to save $80 for every 10,000 you process per month. Don't let high processing fees drain your profits. Visit empowerpayments.com/the void or call us at 913-423-1265 now and unlock your savings.
Go to outer space. That's only for NASA and government agencies. Musk did.
Fuck you. Watch right? me.
Nobody thinks you can have your own satellite network. Musk did that too. Right?
Yeah. When are we going getting free internet, by the way?
Nobody thinks that you can provide free internet to catastrophe ravaged areas. Like Ukraine was the first place he did it.
Ukraine was the first place.
Yeah. And then now the Carolinas.
Yeah.
Helene. Anybody affected by Hurricane Helene, right?
Yeah. Carolinas, Musk, Tennessee.
Musk did it. And there was your first window right there when the government started being incredibly afraid of Musk, was because the government is prohibiting him from getting the supplies in there that he needs to provide the free internet.
Yeah.
Right.
And for all of those, side note, if you don't think that the government's trying to control you, you're a dipshit.
Yeah.
Like, this is just blind, like, yes.
Right.
Open your eyes.
Open your eyes. Right.
Yeah.
And so, the reason Musk bought Twitter, which is now X, is because he wanted to protect free speech.
Yeah.
Right?
He wanted the Nazis to not be able to shut down. I mean, the American government and the left to shut down propaganda.
Right.
Like, or spew propaganda, I should say.
And like one of the first things he's touted was saying after the acquisition was he realized that how many fake accounts there were just to push left-wing agendas.
Yeah.
And so it creates this bias to where you think that you think a majority of people have leftist views because there were so many leftist fake accounts on there. And because people have a natural herd mentality and they want to kind of naturally follow, most people want to kind of naturally go with the flow.
Yeah.
If they can create enough, you know, millions of fake accounts.
We call those people sheep.
Yeah.
But yes.
But like they're there, right? And you don't want a nation, like you need sheep in the nation, right?
Of course you do.
And so you don't want a nation of wolves. You don't want a nation of sheepdogs. Like everyone has their place. And because most people are going to be sheep, Musk realized the threat to democracy and the threat to free speech that Twitter had become. And so,
I am a huge Elon Musk fan.
Bought it.
Like when they announced, oh, he's going to buy it, he's going to try to buy it. And I'm like, there's no fucking way.
Right.
Like, and the whole time I'm thinking, you know how cool that'd be if he like came in with as one guy and was like, nah, this is fucking horse shit. I'm taking this over.
Right.
Like, and here's, I don't want to be like a conspiracy guy, but like in World War II, what did the Nazi Party do? They shut down all news outlets and only let news out that they wanted out.
Yeah, they controlled the flow of information. People. Yeah.
They controlled the flow of information.
Right.
That's a problem.
Right.
And now I love how people on the left are like, well, Elon Musk is controlling the flow of information. No.
No, 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 no.
No, he stopped from controlling the flow of information. Fuck off.
Right.
Like, it's insane.
Well, and, what's her, Hillary Clinton.
Hillary.
She's literally on camera talking about how scary it is that people can go out there and just talk their own opinions like it's nothing. She's like, we got to shut
First Amendment.
Yeah, she's like, we have to shut that down. That's a threat to democracy. No, that is democracy.
Yeah.
Right. Like,
yeah, it's insane to
just,
me.
That's just
people
how,
are like, people are literally like, no, that's the right way. What?
Yeah.
What the hell's the matter with you?
Yeah. And so he's done all of these things. And these are things that everybody, like one of these things is enough to say like, oh, I could never do that.
Dude, if I did one of those things, I'd be like, fucking life's over.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, that'd be like, okay, I can put my pen up there. I'm done.
Right. And you were talking downstairs before we started the podcast. You were talking like, I just want them to build like a hydrogen powered car. And I reminded
you. Not hydrogen. I want fusion. Well, that's what I want.
I reminded you that everybody who's made significant advancements in that has miraculously died in a mysterious car crash. Like the government does not want hydrogen powered cars at scale.
I don't think it's the government. I think it's the oil companies.
Oh, yeah. Like, but, I mean, anybody.
But if he was smart, right, which he is, like, he would literally be like, hey, he would.
Wait, there's a difference between the government and oil companies?
Yes.
Weapons of mass destruction?
Yes.
There's a difference?
In that case, no. But yes, mostly. But like, he would, if he was smart, he would go to them and say, hey, I have this.
Right.
If you guys jump on board with funding, we can all make money together. He would live and we would all be in a better place.
Right.
But that's another level of...
you know, I saw a stat the other day
that
said...
But he'd probably be killed by the Emirates at that point. You know,
I saw a stat the other day that said Pfizer has been in business for 38 years and not cured one single disease.
Nah, man, but they're helping old guys get boners.
I mean,
hey. I mean, hey, like,
if that doesn't tell you where the money is, not in the cure, the money is in the
oh my God, are we
treatment
gonna get
of the symptoms, right?
First off, this whole, I hadn't noticed it because I hadn't been watching a lot of TV, but since we switched to just antenna, like now, you know, I'm watching games and stuff on antenna. Dude, the Moderna and the Pfizer vaccine bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
You should not be able to go on TV with a commercial that spreads fear to get people to buy your product.
Right.
It's insane.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't
We're
realize...
We're one of the few countries that allows...
Dude, stop.
...pharmaceutical companies to campaign like that.
You should... Oh, do you remember, like, you couldn't... You used to not be able to advertise hard liquor on TV. Mm-hmm. It used to only be beer, right? Mm-hmm. And then they were like, okay, hard liquor, which, and I understand that. There's a lot, but for something that makes that much money and there's such a niche market for it, you should not be able to advertise that.
Your window into where the government makes their money was...
It's insane.
When COVID happened and everything got deemed essential or non-essential.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Where they made their money was deemed essential, right? Alcohol.
Yeah.
Here we're worried about the health of the nation with a virus, right?
Well,
alcohol is deemed essential. Cigarettes, essential.
First off, if I don't have a couple drinks every few days, I will kill everyone. Like, it's essential for other people's health that I get my booze. But, like, well, you know, you say that, but they shut it down despite the oil industry. Like, they took a huge, like, okay, no one's buying gas now. Do you remember how awesome it was to get out on the road and there was no one out there?
Yeah.
Like, on the highway? Dude, I was doing like 110 miles an hour everywhere. I didn't give a two shit. There was no one out there.
I've got a photo. I could probably search it on Facebook. I was downtown Kansas City the first day of the shutdown.
Was there like service plumbing,
right?
No one's out there. And you're like, this is awesome.
I'm like the only, like, I felt like a Hollywood movie. I'm like literally the only one on the road. I'm like, this is like, the photo was of a big intersection where you can see down two roads.
Like Grand and 12th and Grand.
Yeah, it's like Main
and
Grand or something like that. There's like no cars, not even cars parked on the side of the road.
Yeah.
Nothing. I'm like, it's like 10 a.m. on a weekday.
Yeah. And you're looking around like,
this is creepy.
What the fuck is happening right now? You know what I know we're getting off topic here, but people have such a short memory when it comes to like oppression and things you can't do. I hope people don't forget like how shitty it was when they were like, nope, you can't do anything, stay at home.
I hope,
you know what I mean, I hope,
especially
they
coming around to this election, I hope they remember which party took suicide victims, tested them for COVID, and then like labeled their death by suicide
as
a COVID death.
That'd be Democrat Party for those of you listening.
I hope they remember what party was taking accident victims who were ejected from vehicles going 100 miles an hour.
Oh, they got COVID.
And then labeling them as a COVID death because they died with COVID instead of COVID, right?
I love how, do you remember Cuomo in New York? Like,
yes.
You don't hear about him. I don't know if he got...
He's actually kind of coming around to sounding...
Well, there's two Cuomos.
Like he's done, yeah.
There's two Cuomos, and the one that sent them
back... The news
back,
one. The, are we talking about the New York governor?
I'm talking about the New York governor. Okay. He got sent... So he had to go to trial, I think, and I know I'm going to talk off my ass here for a minute. But, like, he literally, when he was governor, old people were coming in with COVID, and he was like, no, go back to the nursing home, fuck you. Like, that was his policy.
Right.
And then people were dying. And they were like, nope, we're just telling them what to do. Like, what? What the hell's the matter with you? Remember that motherfucker's a Democrat.
Right.
In a Democrat city. Well, I mean, I just, people had their liberty stripped away and fear introduced into their lives.
Right.
And pushed just for control.
Right.
And I told you this the other day. I don't know if I mentioned it on the podcast or not, but I am on some kind of Forward Blue bullshit fucking email list on my Yahoo account. Dude, yeah. I'm getting literally 5 a day, and it's almost all of them start out the same. Hey, folks, just got bad news here. We are down in the polls by this much. Mm-hmm. I could use your $10. We don't want the evil Mr. Trump getting back as president and this and that. Like, the fear-mongering every email I get. Like, literally, all they are doing is trying to scare people to death to not vote one way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's insane, man.
It's funny insane. To watch somebody try to throw shade at rich people while wearing a $750 belt.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In like $1,000 pants.
Yeah. I love right? Oprah. Let's tax the rich. What?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Bitch, you are rich as shit.
And, I don't know if this is national or what, but Kamala's got like a latest commercial where they're trying to make rich people sound bad. Right.
Do they know that rich people pay for 40% of the tax in this country?
No.
Are they aware that rich people have the same fucking rules everybody else does? Right. Yeah. Like, you just got to level up to be that. And that's part of the topic of today's show. Like, you have to, like, it's on you to level up and rise up to the occasion and overcome the same hurdles everyone else has. Right. You and I have the same tax bracket hurdles as everybody else. Yeah. And if we're diligent to the process and we're diligent to success and we take care of our people and we can grow a business through all these tax hurdles, like, we all are subjected to the same laws. Right.
Yeah.
And so the fact that the rich got rich isn't like, it should be celebrated. It should not be frowned upon. The fact that the left is trying to make everybody hate the rich, like, guess what? If you hate the rich, then you might get fired. And I'm not saying employers are going to fire you because you hate them, but like,
If the tax burden goes up and they have to pay more, guess whose job gets cut? It ain't theirs.
Right.
It's
right.
Your fucking job that gets cut.
And like, the more you're responsible for, the more lives you're responsible for, the more outcomes you're responsible for, the more you're going to get paid. It's just that simple.
Yeah.
But it's a crazy campaign tactic to try to take employees of McDonald's and make them hate the rich. Like, you literally work for one of the biggest corporations in America, in the world.
Yeah.
And but yet we're going to try to make you hate the rich. Like, the rich are why you have a fucking job.
Yeah. And someone had initiative and was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to be a McDonald's franchisee.
Right.
I'm going to fucking get after it. Here right. we go. I hired 10 people and gave them jobs. And so, they all fucking hate me. What the fuck kind of sense does that make?
Mark Cuban.
I hate him, by the way.
I don't like him. He recently posted
just such
a poll.
A douche.
He recently posted a poll on X where he asked if you could choose for your child to grow up with characteristics like Kamala Harris or characteristics like Donald Trump, which would you choose? And it was like 70% of the people said Donald Trump and 30% said Harris.
Well, they don't want their kids to be whores.
Right. The post had 4.4 million views and only like 700,000 responses. So 3.7 million people saw that post, saw the way it was going,
and was like, nope.
And didn't want to assign themselves with the losing party, because Mark Cuban is more left.
He's a douche.
And so
I'd like to fight him in a ring somewhere.
Like, don't get snowed into propaganda or anything else. Like, people deep down, if you strip away anybody else's opinions on your stance, if you strip away anybody else's judgment on your beliefs, most people are not going to agree with Kamala, right? And if you do agree with Kamala, it's because you're taking a hard-nosed stance on abortion, where she is like, kill all the babies that you want. And Trump is like, let's put some boundaries on it, and also let's put it back into the power of the states.
Well, and you right? don't, oh God, and you
like
topic.
That's really probably the only reason Trump's gonna like suffer in that area is because
I wish he would come out and he would just say, okay, look, this is what we're gonna do.
Well, he has.
What? This is what we're gonna do. 16 weeks
Okay, after 16 weeks, if the mother's life's in danger or like there are extenuating circumstances, you can still go ahead.
Right.
That's what they do in Europe. Like, right. If he came out and said that, he'd win by a landslide.
All right, so you've newly started your company and you're trying to pinch pennies. However, you don't realize the biggest thing that's hurting you right now is not gathering all of your information into one spot and making it super efficient for you to use. So the answer is Field Pulse. It gets you off of paper tickets. It gets you off of all of that crazy office work at the end of the day and reconciling all that stuff. And it lets you organize everything with ease. It puts it all into the computer. It actually puts it all into the cloud. So it's not even putting it on your computer. And it lets you organize your customers. It lets you organize all of your service calls. Heck, it'll even route you to your service call. And the best part is, even after all of that, you'll probably realize about a 100% growth in your business just in the first year of using Field Pulse. So if you'd like to check out Field Pulse and see what great looks like, click on the link in the description of this show.
Well, the problem is
he's scared to death.
He says those things. It's just the media distorts it, right? So, like, remember the presidential debate.
He didn't say that exactly, but yes.
The presidential debate. He was talking about apartment complexes getting overrun by Venezuelan illegal immigrants.
Yeah.
Right?
Who are raping women.
Who are raping women and killing animals, right? The quote-unquote fact checkers and the moderators...
Yeah.
We're trying to call him out saying that's absolutely not happening. And everybody saw straight through it, right?
Yeah.
Like, you can't tell me that your news fact checker person got in contact with the city manager of the city, the Springfield, Illinois, in 30 seconds
and got the answer,
answer and was able to rebut it within 30 seconds, right? It doesn't happen.
Have you seen?
And so now, my mind just went blank. Trump's running mate.
JD Vance.
JD Vance.
So Vance is doing a news interview with somebody, and I can't remember who it's with.
Was it on Fox News?
No.
Is it a recent one?
It's very recently.
New York Post.
So he's doing a news interview with somebody, and the news interview people admit it was only a handful of apartment complexes. Yeah. Don't blow this out of proportion.
Dude,
and JD Vance
her.
Is like, look at what you're saying right now. Only a handful of apartment complexes in the United States were overrun by illegal Venezuelan immigrants due to Kamala's open border policy.
Yeah.
And you're acting like this is okay. It was only a handful of apartment complexes. Like,
that's the whole thing of, well, when does every life matter?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, okay, those 1,500 people don't fucking matter.
Right.
Because... of, you know, they just don't look over there.
Right.
Just
right,
don't
right.
Just like they never have an excuse. They
right.
banter. Just don't look over there.
And so most
fucking insane.
Most rationally minded people are going to be able to see through that. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we have a lot of people in the U.S. that don't have rational minds. They can't think for themselves. They can't come up with their own plan of action.
Well, they don't take. OK, I care about these five things. What of those five things is most important?
Well,
should I pick three and then go with a party that supports those three?
Here's ultimately the problem.
People are dumb is the ultimate problem.
Right. Ultimately, the big part of the problem is the majority of the
Godless
middle class tends to go right.
Pieces of shit.
But the lower class and the extreme upper class tends to go left. Okay.
I will say upper class is starting to...
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of upper class that goes right, too.
Yeah.
But, like... if you can't see through the fact that the left plays hardcore to the lower class, that should be a problem, right? In other words,
well, they push fear on the lower class, and I think they do it because they know that they're at their wit's end already,
right?
And it's an easy play for them,
well,
which is horrible.
Yeah, it's almost disgusting when you think about it.
It is disgusting.
It's like, okay, we create a welfare system. But then we're going to use the welfare system to leverage welfare recipients into voting left. Right?
Yeah.
We're going to use the welfare, like we're going to literally...
we're going to use money to keep these people down and buy their votes all at the same time.
We're going to direct campaign social media, like social media knows everything about you. They know if you're on welfare or not. So if you're
I don't know,
on,
they think I'm on welfare. I'm getting these blue fucking emails. I don't know how the fuck I'm
maybe you are,
these
David. You just don't know. Yeah. You go to his house.
Janine's smarter than you think she is. But
I think she's plotting to kill me. But that's another topic for another day.
Like, they know that you're on welfare, and so they're pushing these extreme left things against you, and they're literally taking people that are on welfare and making them hate the rich.
Yeah.
And it's like, you don't understand. The rich are why you even have welfare in the first place, because the rich are paying for it.
Yeah. If you get rid of the rich and no taxes are coming in, what are you going to do?
Right.
Like, what the fuck are you going
to
do?
And Jacob Stoller.
You're going to have a job, and you're going to pay 90% taxes like they do in France, and we're all going to be fucked.
Jacob's,
pull your head out of your ass.
This wasn't the direction of the show, but we're going to go here anyway.
I want to say this before I forget, because I laughed hysterically for 5 minutes. Have you seen that coffee mug? That's a cartoon Donald Trump. He's got his suit on. He's wearing a red MAGA hat, and he's carrying two cats, and he's running. And then Kamala's behind him with a knife, like coming after the cats. Dude, I laughed out loud for 5 minutes.
Dude.
Like the ingenuity of young people that are like, oh, let's do this or let's do that. Like
AI just, meets opportunity.
Oh my
like you
God.
See all the AI memes of like Trump saving the cats.
I mean, I fucking laughed out loud for 5 minutes. See, if I can find it again, I'm going to buy one.
See, that's why
I'm going to set it right. Because it just is. It's.
That's like the.
It's just so.
The don't
where
tread
we
on,
are right now.
The don't tread on me.
Yeah.
They've twisted those logos and that font and that style.
Yeah. It's
to
so
like,
good.
It's a cat saying, don't eat me.
Yeah. Which is. You know what? Never mind.
It's kind of a dual way joke, but still.
Yeah. That's what makes it funny.
So 3 days ago, Jacob Stoller.
Close your ears, Austin.
Jacob Stoller has spoken at our TradeWinds events before and everything. He's got Asperger's. And so he thinks about things at a different level and at a different speed than most people do.
Super cool dude.
He also heavily relies on organization and structure, or he can't function, right? And so he had like everything is very analytical with him. It's ones and zeros.
Yeah.
It's black or white. It's yes or no. Okay.
Yeah.
So he posts 3 days ago. He says, food for thought. Our tax system explained barstool economics. Suppose that every day the 10 men go out for a beer and the bill for the 10 comes to $100.
$10 a piece. Got it.
If they paid their bill the way we pay our taxes, it would go something like this. The first four men are the poorest, and so they would actually pay nothing. The fifth would pay $1. The sixth would pay $3. The seventh would pay $7. The eighth would pay $12. The ninth pay $18. And the tenth, which is the richest man, would pay $59.
Yep. That's how our tax system's set up right now.
And so that's what they decided to do. The 10 men drank at the bar every day and seemed quite happy with the arrangement until one day the owner threw them a curveball. Since you're such good customers, he said, I'm going to reduce the cost of your daily beer by $20. Okay. So the drinks.
I like where this is going.
The drinks for the 10 now cost 80. The group still wanted to pay their bill the way that we pay our taxes. And so the force four men were unaffected. They used to pay zero. Yep. They still pay zero. They still drink for free. But now the other six men that are the actual paying customers, they could divide the $20 windfall so that each would get his quote unquote fair share. They realized that 20 divided by 6 is $3.33. If they subtracted that from everybody's share, the fifth and sixth men would each end up being paid to drink a beer.
Yep.
So the bar owner suggested that they would be it would be fair to reduce each man's bill by roughly the same amount. So he proceeded to work out the amounts that each person would pay. And so the fifth man, like the first four, now pay nothing. The fifth man has a 100% savings. The sixth man now pays $2 instead of $3, a 33% savings. The seventh man now pays $5 instead of $7, it's a 28% savings. The eighth person now pays $9 instead of $12, that's a 25% savings. The ninth person pays $14 instead of $18, that's a 22% savings. And the 10th person now pays $49 instead of $59, it's only a 16% savings. Okay? So each of the six were better off than before, but the first four continued to drink for free. Once outside the restaurant, the men began to compare their savings. "Hey, I only got a dollar out of the 20, says the sixth man.
Yeah.
Okay. He pointed to the 10th man, "You got $10 in savings." Keep in mind, the 10th man's been paying more this whole time.
Yeah.
He says, "Yeah, that's right," exclaimed the fifth man. "I only saved a dollar too. It's unfair that he got 10 times the amount I got." "That's true," shouted the seventh man. "Why should we get $10 back when why should he get $10 back when I only got two? The wealthy people get all the breaks."
Yeah.
Okay.
Meaning they've.
"We didn't get anything at all. The system is built to exploit the poor." Keep in mind, the poor have been getting shit for free the whole time. Right?
Yeah.
The nine men surrounded the 10th and beat him up. The next night, the 10th man didn't even show up for drinks. So the nine sat down and had beers without him. When it came time to pay the bill, they discovered something very important. They didn't have enough money between all of them to pay even half the bill.
Yeah.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, and journalists and college professors, is how our tax system works. The people who pay the highest taxes get the most benefit from tax reduction. Tax them too much or attack them for being wealthy and they simply don't show up anymore. In fact, they might start drinking overseas where the atmosphere is a lot friendlier.
Yeah, and the hookers are a lot cheaper.
Right? So, for those who understand... For those who understand, no explanation is needed. For those who don't understand, no explanation is possible.
Yeah, that's good. Send that to me. That's so really good.
That is seriously amazing shit. I'll send it to you right now.
Yeah, send it to me.
Something that gets me that it's really gaslighting is, so obviously this administration is the reason for the immigrant inflow at our border. Like every state is a border state now. And so like the interviewer will be like, how are you going to get these people back to their country instead of like, you know, it's like, how's that gaslighting? This administration lets in all these illegals and they turn to the public and go, how are you going to fix it?
Yeah.
Like, well, why is that the question?
Yeah.
Right.
It's just insane to me. People are, I never really used to be this way. So like my grandparents are Democrats, right? On my dad's side and my aunts and uncles on that, my aunts on that side are too. So I never really like thought about it, never really cared, never really bothered me. But it's to the point now that it's so obscene that it even happens. It almost blows my mind to the point where I can't even fathom how people that have voted that way for so long would even like change their mindset.
Well,
you know what I mean? Like what you just said at the end of that, like, if it's to the point where they don't understand and they're too stupid to fathom what reality is, like, what's the way back?
Right.
You know what I mean? It's
right.
Just like, that's something I think about a lot just when it comes to terms of like, how do we get back to rational thought and back to the 80s and 90s and even early aughts when we were making serious money and everyone was happy. Healthcare was great, even though we didn't have quote unquote universal healthcare.
We don't now. It's sick care.
Yeah.
It's not health care.
Literally, even some liberal radio stations that I would listen to in the early aughts were like, I don't understand. Like, I can just go to the hospital now and they treat me and don't send me a bill. Like, yeah. We have fucking health care.
Yeah.
Like, why are we trying to, you know, and those people that voted for it and everything, like, tax time would come around and they'd be like, oh, well, I got to go get my Obamacare so I don't have to pay extra in taxes. You had to have that November of last year.
Right.
Like, Obamacare is not free. It's right. Just a platform for where you can buy healthcare for a little cheaper. Oh, you mean I still have to pay?
Depending on your income.
But these were guys only making 25, 30.
Right.
Like it wasn't a lot, but you know, their tax burden was like $1,000, $750, something like that.
Right.
It was like you literally vote for something that you think is going to help you. It doesn't help you. It fucks you.
It raises the cost of everything.
Fucks the whole system up, raises the cost of everything, and then you continually vote for it.
Right.
How fucking dumb do you gotta be?
Right. Right.
Like, and that's to my point that I said a minute ago. Like, at what point are we just like, well, this is a lost fucking cause?
It's actually kind of shifting if you notice, like, Mark Zuckerberg, who you would have never heard him say anything slightly complimenting Trump, but even him, Elon Musk made the switch. Joe Rogan's kind of been making the switch, but Mark Zuckerberg said that he's not endorsing Trump, but he said that's pretty badass how after he got assassinated, attempted on, he like, you know, pumped his fist. So, right. So I think there's a change, like with the tech bros, I think it's becoming less taboo to be for Trump. And I think,
well, and that's the whole thing. Look, like just
like it shouldn't take an assassination attempt.
Yeah. Well, you shouldn't have to, like, it shouldn't be taboo for you to vote for who you want to vote for.
Right.
Like that's,
well, that goes back to
that mob mentality of, oh, you got to go this way. This is how we go. Fuck that.
Well, like, right. Like Jordan Peterson said, like he's gotten arguments with guys of, you know, like we're all like high and mighty to think of like, oh, like, what the Holocaust survivors, that would never happen to us. We're not this. But then a mask mandate comes out and the first thing people do are like, oh, I'm going to put my mask on.
Yeah, put on the
silver
star.
How do you think it happened with the Holocaust survivors?
Well, and not to like continue with the Holocaust thing, but like most of those survivors, the thing they say is, well, it wasn't just a punch in the face. It was a little at a time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was just like, oh, you're going to do this. Oh, you're going to wear the star. Oh, you're going to do, you know what I mean? And then before they knew it, it was too late.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They had no guns. They had no way to stand up. They had no way to fight.
Yeah.
And they had nobody brazen enough or smart enough to try to combat.
Yeah.
Like, let's be honest. It, the government is insanely impressive while being insanely disappointing. Their systems are so layered and they run so deep that when you find corruption, they've got 10 ways to prevent you from, like, dissolving the corruption.
Well,
right?
Or they'll eat their own, let them rot in jail, kill them, and the next guy will take their place.
Right. Yeah. Right. And so
the next whore will just roll in and be like, I'll do it for whatever amount of money you got.
Yeah.
And I don't mean women. Like, don't get me wrong. I mean, just,
yeah,
like,
government whore is what you mean. Not,
yeah, that's
not
what I mean.
Woman whore.
Yeah, I probably should have chose my words better.
No,
there.
I think it's pretty fitting, well, given their arrangement.
It is fitting. But that's, like, just the willingness to be part of corruption for power.
Yeah.
And money is just, like, it's insane to me.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah. J.D. Vance had another pretty fiery speech where he was comparing,
I wish he depicted
himself Haley. And
the plagiarism thing.
No, he was depicting himself and Trump against Kamala and Waltz.
I'd like to see them all in a fist fight, the four.
He was basically saying, like, I've gone to
Royal
war
Rumble
for
style.
Our country. I went to Iraq for our country. My presidential running mate took a bullet for our country. What's one thing that our competition has done for this country? Name one.
I can name one. Stolen money.
Done for the country. In benefit of the country.
Well, in the same interview
in
you were talking
benefit of the country?
Right.
Zero.
In that same interview you're
fucking
talking about
zero.
Where they were asking J.D. Vance about earlier, she brings up kind of like a racist thing. She doesn't realize she's being racist, but she is when she's talking about like the unemployment, how there's like 7 million men who like are able-bodied and can't be employed. And he's like, use them for construction. And then the interviewer was talking about how it's like, well, those are jobs that illegals have, essentially. And so it's like, so he's saying that, like, you know, Mexicans belong in construction or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just kind of weird how they twist that around. Mm-hmm. Right.
They twist it to fit their narrative.
Right.
Constantly.
But trying to get back on topic of what the show was supposed to be about.
You know what? It's still been a great show.
No,
Mitch.
It's been great. Yeah. But like,
we don't have to have a topic every time.
It's a smorgasbord.
Elon Musk fights these same battles we all fight, but he's found a way to create revenue streams, to fund other ventures that create more revenue streams that fund other ventures to, like, I mean, do you remember where Elon Musk started?
No.
PayPal?
I don't know. All
PayPal.
I know is, oh, is he the PayPal guy?
Elon Musk invented PayPal.
Yeah,
that
his whole career was
sense.
Like building a company up, selling it, building a company up, selling it.
And so, like,
actually, you know what? I think now that I think about it, I knew that. I knew that.
I think we all know it. We just
yeah,
forget
we just
it,
forget.
Right?
Yeah, we just forget.
Like,
we think of him as the Tesla guy now.
We think of him as the Tesla guy or the modern version of, what's the comic guy, Stark?
Tony Stark.
Tony Stark. We think of him like as a modern day Tony Stark.
A fucking flying suit that you can wear.
Yeah. Like,
I mean, fuck off.
We think
cool
of him
shit.
Now as that, but like he began with PayPal, right? We're beginning with like a trades-based business. And then we start to learn with our trades-based business. We start to learn like, okay, if we manage people the certain way, they behave a certain way. If we manage our money a certain way, it yields these results. And so now we can take our newfound plumber and HVAC trades-based business skills, and now we can go do other things, right? Maybe we have a staffing agency, a labor agency. Maybe we have a virtual assistant agency. Maybe we realize that, like, my special niche was marketing for the plumbing business, and so maybe I open a marketing agency. Like, there's no top. There's no limit to where you can go. And like, literally, the Wall Street Journal just, like, yesterday or the day before released an article about plumbing and HVAC guys are this era's new set of millionaires because they're growing their it's such a need market, and they're growing their businesses in such a way that when they sell their business, they're instant millionaires.
Oh yeah.
And so,
oh fuck yeah.
And it's like,
and even guys in the Tradewinds group, there are three guys I'm thinking of specifically that have made enough money to provide for their family and then buy rental property.
Right.
And they literally have turned that cash flow, just like you were saying, into the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And they're going to keep going, and they're going to roll it into that. Who knows? Do they become land barons? Do they become...
Right.
You know, like, you literally can take one thing and turn... And if it's successful and you give everything you have to it, it can turn into the next thing.
Right.
And then that thing can turn into two more things. Like, to the point where if you sell that, all of a sudden you're worth $10 million, you're 35 years old, and you're like, what the fuck just happened? But all it came from was your willingness to not give up and to pursue, like, your goals and your dreams, right?
Right.
Like, this is America. We used to talk about this all the time. In America, the only excuse is laziness.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
That's all there is. If Austin wanted to tomorrow... He could go to you and say, Mitch, I want to be a plumber. Yep. I'm going to take a pay cut, and I'm going to be a plumber, and I want you to train me to be a plumber. And in 3 years, he could be working for you full time.
Yeah.
Making, I don't know what your plumbers make, what, 100, 125?
Yeah, somewhere around there.
And within 8 years, he could literally run his own business.
Yeah.
If he can't, it's because he hasn't soaked up all the knowledge that we've been pumping into him for 2 years.
Well,
you can do anything that you want. The problem is you have to want to do it.
Right. And so, like, circle back to Elon Musk here. I just looked it up. Elon Musk has been married 3 times. Okay.
Reckon that as.
So his his success has cost him marriages.
Did you just say his success?
I don't know.
Okay.
His success has cost him marriages, right? When he pulled out of PayPal and dove headfirst into Twitter. You pulled out, really?
I covered my face. I was letting you go. I just...
So when he sold PayPal and dumped everything into Twitter, or not Twitter, Tesla.
Yes.
So
I'm sorry.
What's crazy is the left loved him.
Pulled out, dumped.
Because the left are full of what I would call fake environmentalists.
Yeah.
They're chasing
electric car. Yay.
Well, they're chasing this never ending elusive dream of what is protecting the environment. Right.
It's nuclear power. All and you dipshits.
Simply because he saw a different way to make a car, like Elon, I don't want to say he's an environmentalist. He saw a different way to make a car. He saw a more sustainable way to make a car. I want to say more sustainable. He saw a different, also sustainable way to make a car, right? Oil is also sustainable, right?
I think that he knew that he would. I think he's so smart. He knew that these people will back me and I'm going to do it to make money and I don't give a fuck.
Right.
Like, personally, that's what I think, because that's what I would have done.
Right.
And like, so if I'd have thought that, yeah, like, man, all these people are going to jump on board, I'm going to be rich as fuck, and I'm going to be able to do whatever I want after.
What's crazy is the left loved Elon because he was the creator of the electric car.
Yeah, and he bought Twitter, and they were like, oh my God!
And then he starts seeing corruption in free speech. He starts seeing distortion in democracy. He starts seeing bias. He starts seeing fake... encounters with zero explanation happening on Twitter that are causing all of America to shift their thinking because of all these fake accounts. And he's like, this isn't good for America. And so what's he do? He buys Twitter and cleans it up. And now the left hates him.
Yeah.
They went from loving him because he's going to save the planet. And now they hate him.
You're because, not pushing our agenda. Fuck you.
Because he's a threat to democracy. Actually, and that's
he's
that's,
a threat to their view of democracy.
That's I was gonna say. That's the scary part about it is they don't think freedom of speech. I mean, like they want to cloud freedom of speech as a threat to democracy.
They see freedom of speech as their freedom to speak. How do I say this? They view freedom of speech as their platform to say what they want.
Freedom of my speech.
Yeah, freedom of my speech. That's a good way to say it, Austin.
Yeah.
Like, I can say what I want, and I can push my agenda, but don't you fucking do that to me.
Yeah, if what you're saying damns my opinions, then yeah, you then can't say that.
Yeah, then that's not freedom of speech.
Right. And
I'm going to get an Elon Musk as my hero t-shirt.
They didn't even really do that. Like, he just saw the crazy bias and the crazy amount of fake accounts that were pushing opinions one certain way, and that's it. And he eliminated them, and they're furious that he eliminated all the fake accounts, yeah, right?
Did you notice he never actually came out and said, oh, this is – how do I say this? He never actually came out and said, I'm for one party or the other at the time.
Never has.
He was voting Democrat at the time that he bought Twitter.
Right.
Okay? He just didn't like the rhetoric and what was happening.
Right.
Like, that speaks to the control that the Democrat Party wanted to have.
Yeah.
They literally were going after their own at the time because they knew it was going to dispel their rhetoric.
Well, and
like they knew, hey, this is like we can't push our agenda anymore because he's going to buy this and it's going to hurt us. So they tried to fucking crucify him.
Take that bar analogy that we just talked about from Jacob Stoller, right?
Did you send that to me? That was fucking good as shit.
Take that bar analogy.
I'm going to post it every day.
Take that bar analogy.
I'm serious.
Elon Musk is the 10th man, right? Where did Elon Musk's headquarters used to be?
California.
Knows how to party. So, what happened in California?
Taxes went up.
It was unsuitable to run a business.
No, you couldn't even have your employees. They were like, no, your employees can't come to work because COVID.
And you could loot up to like at least as long as you were underneath 1,000, you could just loot without getting any serious trouble.
It was insane.
Think about what California did and then everyone else followed.
I wish it would just follow.
COVID is too dangerous to eat inside a restaurant, so we need to eat on the street. Well, eating on the street's a little uncomfortable, so let's put them in tents and then let's climate condition these tents and put doors on them.
We call that indoors.
Next thing you know, we're eating indoors, outdoors, but it's indoors, but it's outdoors.
Yeah.
Right? And Americans were just like the fucking sheep that a mass part of America is. And they're like, okay, this is just, it is what it is. And it's like,
no,
you don't understand.
Not, it's not, it is what it is. It's stop being a dumbass.
Right. Right. And so.
What was it? That 70s
Elon
show?
Elon Musk is the 10th guy in that bar thing.
Yeah.
He didn't show up. He literally fucking left California.
Yeah.
Because their policies were too bad.
Peace.
And now California's hurting. Because he was literally one of the biggest businesses in California, and he took all of his business to Texas.
You know what we should do for one show? Like, we don't do a lot of, I don't even know what you would call it. Like, technical shows of this is what's happening in America, or this is... Like, we should get one of those tax studies. Like, I've read a couple of them on what happened after COVID and during COVID to California, and how much money they lost. And just, go over the numbers. It's insane. The amount of tax... Like, people literally just put up the middle finger, sold their house for pennies on the dollar, and left.
Left.
They're like, I can go to Texas and buy a mansion. Like, why the fuck would I stay here?
I get monthly appraisal reports on my house.
Dude, don't even...
I built my house 13 years ago.
I've been thinking about selling my house.
For $273,000. Okay? 13 years ago, I built my house... it's a 4-bedroom, 2.5 bath, 3.5 bath
three
now.
And
well, at the time I built it, it was 2.5.
Yeah. Your basement wasn't finished.
Basement wasn't finished. We've now finished the basement, added another 1,000 square feet to the house. So now we're 3,600 square feet. And now we're a 4-bedroom, 3.5 bath house, right? 3,600 square feet. My house value right now is over $600,000. I would never pay $600,000 to live in this house.
Well,
never.
Man, perspective is a real thing. Like right now, if you sold this house, yeah, you would. Because if you wanted something similar, you'd be paying that money.
Right. And at that point, why would I do it, right?
No, so, yeah. That's why we have sold our house.
Ironically, there was a post.
I'm not buying it.
There was a post on a neighboring, so Lee Summit's the next city over from us, their community group. There was a post on there saying, hey, I'm considering moving, and I haven't looked at house prices forever, but oh my gosh.
You should look at them.
Yeah, you should open your eyes and fucking look, dog.
She's like the post says, like, there's condominiums selling for like $300,000. Like, this is just crazy.
Do you remember my house in Blue Springs?
Yeah.
I sold that for $275,000.
Yeah.
That house is $475,000 now.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
That's like you're about to like walk off a building. Like, well, I'm not for sure if I want to check and see if I'm going to fall, but I'm just going to keep going.
Right.
Like,
it's insane. And so they're not going down. Just letting y'all know.
That post was like a week or so ago, and I commented on the post, and I said, hey, in 26 days, you can actually weigh in on this and many more problems.
Yeah. Oh, and, man. Yeah.
Like,
you got crushed.
Oh, no. I mean,
or were you backed up?
The original post had like 5 likes, and my comment has like hundreds of likes. And then the political arguments that ensued below it, like I didn't even, it was total post and ghost. I didn't even reply to anything or anybody. But man, the political arguments that ensued for between people in the comments below that was just insane.
I don't understand how people can realistically not look back 4 years and go, man.
Yeah.
Like it. I had to spend $700 less a month in 3 years. This is real life example. I'll tell everyone right now. Our house payment was $2,700.
Yep.
Our house payment now is $3,700.
Mm-hmm.
Property tax and insurance alone has gone up $1,000 a month.
Yep.
In 3 years.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
Yeah, I would say just in like,
fuck off.
I think 4 or 5 years ago, like rent, we were still renting. I started renting 1-bedroom apartment. It was like $840. Now it's different. We're renting. It's 3-bedroom, 2-bath, but it's like $1,400.
Yeah.
So it's over the course.
It's insane, man. Yeah. It's fucking insane.
When David and I were 18 and 19, we rented a duplex together.
Mm-hmm. That was $1,200.
So
it was too expensive for us. Let's be honest.
This was 24 years ago.
2003.
2001, 2002 era.
Yes.
Okay.
2001, 2002.
So 22 years ago.
Because it would have been a September. So yeah, 01, 02. You're right.
3-bedroom, 2.5-bath, 1.5-bath.
2-bath.
2-bath. 3-bedroom, 2-bath.
There was a full bath upstairs, half bath downstairs.
Yeah.
It was nice.
Super nice. $1,200 bucks a month.
It was before we got to
now it. You'd be double that.
Right. Yeah.
Or more.
Well, I think $1,400 is actually on the cheap. Like, you can't find.
Oh, yeah. Dude, your apartment now, where you live, that is the cheapest, nice place you can get.
Yeah, like, we couldn't find anything. Like, if you're looking at 3-bedroom, 2-bath, and the reason, like, it's just my wife and I, but, like, I like having an office to work. Like,
yeah.
Before, we were, like, both of our offices, and we were sharing the same bed.
Dude, don't act like you're living up the high life. That's a reasonable place. That place in Lee Summit is another $800.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, just, I think. There's some I've seen going. They were like, you know, $1,600, $1,800, $1,200
It's
for
fucking insane.
Well, John
man.
Pays 21. I want to. He pays $2,100 for his rent.
Crazy.
Hopefully, he doesn't get mad at me for saying that on there.
Damn. Right, right. No. We have a plumber that's renting probably a 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom house with a 2-car garage.
Oh, it's
like a split entry house.
Yeah. And he'll tell people. So
yeah, it's $2,200 a month.
Yeah,
right?
That's probably right.
My fucking mortgage is $2,200 a month.
It's insane, dude.
Right.
It's fucking insane.
And
my brother's rent's going up. I don't know if he knows this.
Here's the problem.
Damn. Sorry, John.
here's the problem with all of this is the left will convince you that's greedy property managers. The right will convince you that that's poor policies created by 3.5 years of bad administration on the left.
Yeah. When taxes and insurance go up, the renters bear the brunt.
Yes.
When taxes and insurance go up, the employees bear the brunt. That is what happens. Mitch is not taking a fucking pay cut.
A business's job is to profit a certain percentage in relation to your revenue. So in the trades-based world, industry-leading net profit is 20%. Average net profit of your trades-based business is 7%. Okay? Industry-leading 20, average is 7. You will never have a business that is producing 20% net profit, and then all of a sudden, all of this inflation and bad policy drives the cost of everything up, And all of a sudden, that business owner who is used to seeing 20% net, you will never see him be like, well, I'm going to do my part and actually profit less because the world needs us to profit less. So I'm going to
fuck off.
I'm going to just take less profit as a business. No, they own it. They owe it to themselves and their shareholders and everybody in the company for the health of the company and for the future of the company. They owe the community, their employees, and themselves. They owe them profit.
Yeah.
Right. And so
you can only grow if you have profit. You can only hire more employees if you have profit.
Right. And what's really crazy about the left ideology when it comes to like their campaigns and everything else is they'll convince you the rich are bad, but then they'll provide you with a welfare check so you can go to Walmart and buy groceries.
That's paid for by the rich, motherfucker.
From the rich. Right. Walmart's one of the richest companies in America. They're going to help you support them, but they're going to make you hate now Elon, who was, you know, 5 years ago was just amazing.
Oh,
like
yeah.
He's God's gift to the leftists because he created the electric car.
This
and he's going to save the planet.
He's going to save the planet with electric cars. Right. That was like his whole thing.
10 years ago, it was Trump. It was like, oh my gosh, you know, Oprah Winfrey loved him and all this sort of stuff. And they could run together.
Right.
Yeah,
and
he
the
was
moment
wrecking that ass too.
The moment you take a stance that's in opposition to them, they will find ways to crucify you, and they'll get creative with it. Right? You know who invented Columbus Day?
Not an Indian.
The left.
Not a fucking Indian.
You know who changed it from Columbus Day to Indigenous Peoples Day because Columbus was actually a bad person and he had slaves and stole land? The left. Right.
First off, I'm Native American, and I wish all of you motherfuckers would go to another continent.
Like,
give me my shit back.
How do you not realize that they just lily pad from issue to issue to keep people on their toes? They don't actually stand for much.
No, they say whatever they think they need to say and build up whatever walls they think they need to build up to stay in power.
Yeah, it's crazy.
If you don't see that they are holding this country back, you're a fucking moron.
Well, the two-party system's holding the country back more than anything else.
That's true. But I wish that the real problem with this show is no one on the left's listening to it.
Nah, we get a couple.
You know what? If
well, here's the
share some of our reels that say that talk about me talking shit on people.
Well, here's the argument.
Especially people on the left. Let's get some shit stirred up.
Yeah, I mean, it just like I don't know if this will land well on their ears, but like what we can count on is people like-minded us will get motivated, and then in turn, because we can't like make our way into group circles where our ideology isn't accepted, but people, we can inspire people, motivate people to be like, if they have some like leftist friends or some kind of like weird aunts that kind of believe this way, they can make an impact.
Yeah, you can go to Thanksgiving and piss off your 95-year-old grandmother. I've done that. Like, I've literally done that.
Sorry, Grandma, the world's a lot different than it was when you were cognizant of what's happening.
What's so messed up is she is cognizant. She literally, this was two Thanksgivings ago. I said, well, what's with inflation? Why is everything so out of control? She looked me in the eye. I was like, it's Trump's fault. I was like, Grandma, Trump's been out of office for 2.5 years. I was like, what? What?
Yeah. Only
an insane person would think that.
Only an idiot would believe that the guy that was in power for 4 out of 12 years is the reason for everything wrong in America today.
Yeah. Like, I know.
How
like, literally,
dumb can you be?
I've talked about this on the show before. Like, as you get older and realize people that you looked up to are fucking idiots.
Right.
Like, it hurts you and pains you deeply.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just like, it's one of those rites of passage as you get older. Like, I can't look up to them anymore.
Well, 12
like, they helped me get to where I am, but it's like I no longer can value anything you say because you're an insane person.
Well, if you look at it too, 12 of the last 16 years have been like Democrat led as far as in the presidency.
Yeah.
So there's that factor too.
But it's like that's what we talk about a lot in Tradewinds too and on this show, I guess. But like your circle gets smaller. Like I said that after my birthday.
Right.
And you guys took me out. Like literally you don't realize it, but your circle gets smaller because you value the people that share your ideas and your perspective, and you just like that's just part of it as you get older. Like people are like, "Well, old people are lonely." Yeah, they are because they can only stand about 5 people.
Right.
It's not that they're lonely by choice.
So
like
What's you know, funny I mean, is the way that they choose to argue their selective nature. So like BLM.
Oh, and right turn. Okay.
No.
This is going to be a 2-hour podcast.
This would be left turn, actually.
I have nothing to do. Let's stay after it.
So BLM was
Austin,
largely
give me a drink.
Was largely created and grew to its fame after the killing of Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri, right?
Yeah, now, that's where it started.
Here's what's crazy is the left will take a minority isolated incident like that. Okay. They'll twist the facts. Michael Brown was a piece of shit that was arguing with a cop and trying to steal his weapon to kill him. And the cop killed him first.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kill or be killed, motherfucker.
Only the left will distort all of the facts and try to make you say that's a racial thing simply because Michael Brown was black and the cop that shot him was white.
Yeah, if all of those facts had come to fruition and no one had said any... If the cop had been black and the guy had been white, you'd have never fucking heard a word about it.
Right. And shit like this happens all the time where you have a dirtbag piece of shit perpetrator that's behaving in a way like regardless of race. It doesn't even matter.
No, it doesn't matter.
You have a dirtbag piece of shit perpetrator that's behaving in a way and trying to steal a cop's weapon and the cop shoots them.
Yeah.
This happens every day.
Fucking gut shot.
But the moment it's a black perpetrator against a white cop, all of a sudden, is it racist? That most of the time this happens, it's black on black or white on white. Or it's a white perpetrator with a black cop, and we can't have, like, you just simply can't, like, reverse racism can't exist.
No, and even if it's an Asian guy and a white cop, you don't hear about that
either.
You
don't hear about it, right.
No.
Right.
It's fucking insane.
You only hear about it when it meets their narrative, right?
Yeah.
So only the left will convince you that such an isolated incident like that is a sign of systemic racism. However,
or how all of us act.
The same party will be like, it was only a couple of apartment complexes overrun by Venezuelan immigrants.
Do you know? Yeah.
Right.
And you know,
it was only
up?
A couple.
And you know what's fucked up? Most of the people in that apartment complex were black.
Were black.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
and,
so
in their party that they may have voted for, may not have voted for, I don't want to like say, oh no, they don't, are throwing them under the bus.
Right.
They don't care. Fuck you.
Right.
We don't care. It doesn't fit our narrative. We don't care. Sorry.
What's really sad, like, I get that the politicians are always going to twist things and push their angles. The left does it. The right does it. Everybody does it.
Yeah.
What's really sad is the general education level of America is not smart enough to see through that they can take an incident like Michael Brown and say, oh, yeah, that's a sign of systemic racism. But they can't take these apartment complexes overrun by Venezuelan immigrants and say that's a sign of systemic immigration problems.
Yeah,
right?
It's fucking insane, man.
It's asinine.
Wait, it's funny you bring this up. My sister was in town, right? Because flood, blah, 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 blah.
Yep.
We literally, like,
well,
she's...
hold on. Don't be so humble. You're harboring, you
no,
were harboring
no, no, no,
your sister
no,
because she
I wasn't.
Was displaced by the floods in
she was, first
the Carolinas.
Off, her house was not destroyed. She was not displaced. I told them to leave. I did not invite.
Her house wasn't destroyed, but the
not,
infrastructure in the area was.
I did not invite them to my house. I said they should leave. And she was like, well, we're coming to your house.
Just take the hug Mitch is giving you. Let him hug you.
Austin, shut your ass. No, but we were just.
David has a soft spot in his heart, but he doesn't want any of the listeners to this show to know it.
I've completely lost what I was going to talk about.
Yeah.
What was
it's
I going to talk
I
about?
Because I exposed your little soft spot.
No, what was I going to talk about?
Oh, mushy.
What was I going to talk about?
Your sister,
you were talking about
displaced
your sister
by the floods.
Displaced.
No, she was here. Her and I were talking about something.
Well, she likes the left, so it was probably something about that.
See what happens?
She was like,
yes. You just derailed
see,
the whole
see
show.
See what happens when I expose
you?
Yeah,
you just derailed
that.
The whole show.
Don't tell me she was one of those, like, the government controls the weather, and it was Trump who controls
that's
the
Mitch.
Weather.
Mitch
oh,
thinks
no.
The government
controls
the
weather.
I
didn't say that. I never said that. I said there's a large population that believes that, and their stories actually have a little bit of merit. I didn't say I believe it. I say there's enough going on there for me to entertain the idea.
I didn't bring it up. Austin did. Don't look at me.
I think the
Austin's
arguments we're talking about is two separate
about.
Things. You're talking about insurance companies. I'm talking about the government. And I'm looking, I'm like, the same people who can't fix my potholes, who tell you to wear a mask during COVID are the same people that are back there controlling the weather.
Yeah, they're so smart.
And then if they are controlling the weather,
so smart.
It'd be nice if they just kind of, you know, push some storms away. Like, it doesn't have to be hurricanes.
Man, I had a good point. I can't remember what it was.
Yeah.
You fucked that all up.
Sorry, Dave. We were trying.
Your humility.
No, it was really good. It had nothing to do with her. It had to do with a conversation we had. Now I can't remember what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's on you, dog.
Oh, well.
That's on you.
I'll take the heat on that.
So, I'll share some of it.
It's okay. You can take the hit.
I know we've rambled about politics and everything else, but essentially, like, Elon Musk, so, like, he has the same hurdles we all have. He has the same tax structure we all have. He's not exempt from anything like that. He learned the tax system really well. He learned how to manage people really well. He learned financial literacy really well. And he used all of that to his advantage to understand that there's layers in business. In business, one may only cap out at a certain level. And that's cool. Sell it. Take the profits and invest it into business two. Business two may only cap out at a certain level. That's cool. Sell it and take the profits and invest into business three. Right?
Yeah.
And so he's got accomplishment after accomplishment after accomplishment, and it's not without failure, and it's not without struggle, and it's not without, like, literally risking your last dollars. When he was trying to get SpaceX rockets into orbit, and they were trying to land, well, no, I think this was before they were trying to land boosters back on the ground without breaking them. I think this was literally him trying to get rockets into orbit.
Yeah, this...
And he was at his, like, he had already tried three attempts, and he scrounged up the money for a fourth attempt. And he said flat out, if this rocket doesn't make it, we go bankrupt. We are out of money. I had to scrape every last penny I could together to get this fourth rocket into space. And so the fourth rocket takes off and makes it into space without exploding and everything else. It takes that level of commitment. It takes that level of discipline. It takes that level of awareness as to your hurdles, right? Elon Musk didn't just go put himself in those rockets that were exploding and foolishly die of the sword, right? He didn't say, like, I'm so confident this is going to happen, blah, blah, blah.
No, that's just stupid.
It was still calculated, but
yeah,
it was also like he literally ran it to his last dollar, right? Here in our own business, September was the hardest fucking month I've ever been through in business. And I thought, man, if we can make it through September, I can make it through anything. Little did I know that 10 days into October, it's even harder than September was, right?
Yeah. Hey, here's your starfish. Bloop.
Yeah.
October surprise.
Yeah.
And so it's like, oh my gosh, the challenges just keep coming. The hits keep coming. But the difference between somebody who is successful and somebody who fails is the words, I give up.
Yeah.
Right? If Elon Musk said, I'm tired, I can't do this anymore, I'm done, none of this ever would have happened. But he never said that. And look at all we have, right? We have Starlink. We have freedom of speech on Twitter. We have
the flamethrower. That actually is pretty cool.
Yeah. We have an agency that can move faster, quicker, and more efficiently than NASA, which NASA is a government agency. I just posted in the Tradewinds group about this today.
NASA's so the government's so fucking slow.
The tunnels, the Boring Company.
Oh yeah. Like we have so many things because of him, right? I'm actually going to pull up the group that's the post that I made in the group.
And the two astronauts that NASA stranded in space, it's because of Elon Musk that they're able to go out there and save those astronauts. Well, I think they're using Falcon boosters
or
something.
Are they still up there?
Yep.
Oh my God. They're going to be up
until February.
Yeah. It's still going to be a few more months.
Well, the thing is the capsule's actually there. They just can't come back down.
For those of you that have lost faith in your government, there's a reason.
Yeah.
Those two in space right now are like, fuck these guys.
The government's like, fuck them. And Elon Musk is like, I got you. Right?
Yeah. He's like, I'll get them.
Well, I think the capsule's there. They just can't come back down until February or something like that.
Yeah.
So I shared a post in the Tradewinds group. Ironically, it's been up for 2 hours and it has no reactions, which is kind of weird. But
people love me more.
I don't know.
I don't know. Come on, dog.
Elon Musk's engines for these rockets, they're called Raptor engines.
Oh, Raptor engines. I saw that you post. You rocked that. But yes.
So he's got Raptor 1, which is the first engine ever, is the most like over-engineered thing ever. It's got pipes and tubes and valves and shit everywhere.
Yeah.
Raptor 3 is half the size of Raptor 1 and more powerful. Right. Yeah. So my post is, when you pay by the hour, like most companies do, the more complex, the more time consuming, and the more length that it can take by the employee, the more money the employee makes.
Dave, don't look at me like that.
What?
Nothing.
Oh.
The more length it could take.
Oh, yeah. You get your minds out of the gutter,
you
fourth graders.
I didn't say shit.
So,
Dave smiled, but I couldn't hold my laugh.
I wasn't even smiling at that.
When you're paid by results.
It's on you, dog.
Like when the payload gets to orbit, right?
Yeah.
For SpaceX, you figure out how to get it done cheaper, faster, and more powerfully. Pay by the hour and watch your team. Pay by the hour and watch how your team will make things significantly more complicated than they need to be. Pay by the job and watch them get innovative and learn how to achieve the same results much faster. Capitalism at its finest, right?
I wish we could get the government to only be paid on results.
Like, right.
Man, house rep, you only get paid if you guys do X, Y, and Z.
Right, if you achieve the thing, right?
You're not getting $174 a year to sit around on your ass and ride your Peloton bike.
Well, and
fuck you.
That's where the comparison was. The government pays by the hour. Capitalism pays by results. And so that's why you're going to see more innovations in capitalism. That's why you're going to see faster advances in technology. That's why Elon Musk doesn't give two fucking shits about patents.
No.
He doesn't waste time with patents. For one, he thinks they stall creativity.
They stall innovation.
Right. But for two, he was like, by the time I would patent something, we're so far beyond that on the next edition of things
it
doesn't even fucking matter.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, and that's the whole thing of like medicine too, right? Like everyone's like, well, medicines are so expensive, this and that, blah, blah, blah. Do you know how much, like it takes a lot of money to pay those people to let them just run free?
You want to
create real medicine.
You want to hear a real, like here's an eye-opening problem into the medical world. So my wife has a prescription. And she's had it for years and it wasn't quite working. And so, you know, as things change and your body changes and everything else, maybe they need to change up the prescription.
I'm not sure where this is going, but
and so
I'm excited.
She had her doctor prescribe her a temporary 30-day prescription of this new medicine. Let's see how it works, right? Works phenomenally. Okay. Much better than the old medicine.
It was really just sugar pills.
Feels much better. Okay. So she's nearing the end of the 30 days. They had already set up like a telehealth thing. Well, ironically, the telehealth thing to renew this medicine was literally the day of the wedding that we were in last Friday. And so
priorities.
Her doctor will not do a telehealth medical visit if you're in a car. The doctor requires you not be in a vehicle. Okay. Weird doctor rule.
It's,
I don't know.
It's probably a federal
keeping you
rule.
From like driving it, while you're.
Yeah. I'm sure it's a federal rule.
So she had to miss her telehealth thing because of this wedding. Well, now she's out of medicine. So she
tried to stab you while you were sleeping.
No, she calls the doctor and she gets the doctor to prescribe like a 3 or 4 day script, like 3 or 4 more days worth of medicine. But then the doctor reschedules the telehealth thing out for another 7 days. Okay. So now she's battling.
She's cutting them into 3 quarters.
Yeah, she's so battling another short window, right? Yeah. And so finally, she gets the doctor, she gets the telehealth thing, gets all that squared away. But now that the doctor's like, okay, this works, we want 3 months supply now. Now the insurance companies are battling her saying, we don't know if we're going to approve a 3 month supply. We need to know proof that the old medicine wasn't working. We have to talk to your doc, slowing everything down, right?
Yeah.
Copay on this medicine is $20 a month.
Love it.
Okay. Danielle's freaking out.
Pay for the bottles, $5.50.
Danielle's freaking out thinking, oh my gosh, well, how long is this going to take? I need this medicine, everything else. And I'm like, what's the cash price on the medicine? Right? Come to find out the cash price on the medicine is like $30 a month. Right? So here is America.
Oh my God, it's $10.
Freaking out. Like most people don't have the forethought for this, right? Most people think, well, I got to wait for insurance to approve it.
No, just pay.
And I'm like, what's the cash price? Like, how much? Like, what are we really stressing out about here? Right. And so we find the cash price is $30 a month. I'm like, we'll just pay for it. We'll just buy it.
Yeah.
Done.
There's
right.
Insurance is saving us $10.
So we bought a month's supply that gives the insurance time to figure all this shit out and everything else. But that's literally the hurdles that everybody is up against. And it's a prime example for the same hurdles Elon's up against and everything else. Only if you take things at face value, you get face value results.
Yeah.
If you want exceptional results, you have to think about them forwardly in an exceptional way, right? And here we are, like, risking not getting this medicine that Daniel wants or needs or whatever over, like, $10 a month.
$10.
Right. And so it's like, yeah, just pay the $10 and be done and move on.
Well, and
right?
like it... Like, it goes to show two things. Either people are so broke they can't pay the $10, and so everyone in that circle, not knowing you guys, is like, these people are going to lose it over $10.
Right.
Or there's no transparency.
Right.
It's fucking one or the other.
Well, so I don't have this pharmacist anymore. I used to have this pharmacist that had, like, they built a system to trigger what was on the $4 list. Your co-pays are $20 on medicine no matter what, right? Depending on your policy and everything else.
And ours are 10.
There's a lot of times where you go into the pharmacy and you're paying $20 on medicine even though shit's on the $4 list,
yeah.
Right?
Didn't know that.
The pharmacy built this program to red flag whenever, like throw a red flag up whenever anything's on the $4 list.
It's just an Excel sheet, really.
And so they would be like, we didn't even run this through your insurance, because if we don't run it through your insurance, it's $4. If we run it through your insurance, it's $20.
Give me the $4 shit,
yet
bitch.
Again, another massive inefficiency by the government, because if they can make things more complicated and take longer, they get to charge you more.
Yeah.
Right? So these are all the hurdles that we face as business owners. Business owners every day are faced with problems where your mind goes the governmental route of the overcomplicated, over-engineered process that takes longer and is more expensive. Meanwhile, thankfully, in my case, I always have this gift of, like, thinking of, like, what if all of that doesn't exist? Like, how do I just get to the direct result as fast as possible?
You want to get to the end. You want to get to the project being completed. Like, I have the same thing.
Right.
It's like, I'm not... It's like when a supplier says to you, oh, we don't have that. It's going to be 3 weeks. What do? You call the next supplier. You go to Home Depot. You go to Menards. You're like, no, I'm getting it done right fucking now. What do I have to do to get it done?
Here's another prime example. So we had one of our vehicles in our fleet get hit. It was involved in two collisions, none of which were our driver's fault. One of them, he got sideswiped on the highway. It was a city highway.
Was it the same guy?
Yes. So one of them, he gets sideswiped on the highway.
He's wearing a magnet. Says, fucking hit me.
Right. and the lady, like, fessed up, like, I'm sorry, I'll pay whatever it is, right? We went and got three estimates, let her pick between. I got three estimates from three reputable shops. I let her pick of the three, and we got it fixed, right? And the other incident, a piece of furniture came off of a truck in front of him on the highway, and it bounced off of a couple other cars. Cars were swerving everywhere, and he had the choice to either run off the edge of the road, hit one of the cars, or hit the furniture head on. He chose to hit the furniture head on, and it totally took out the whole front end of our van. collision avoidance system, cooling system, front bumper, front grill, like
fucked,
right? Now my van's out of commission. We were literally on Tradewinds coaching calls when my phone started blowing up with all these alerts of, like, overheat warnings and all of this shit from my fleet.
Your shit's fucked.
Right.
He just gets up. He's like, hey, I got to take this.
So,
okay.
I take it to a local automotive repair shop.
See ya, buddy.
And I say, you guys get to fix both of these. I've got a check in hand for one of these repairs, and I need you to fix this other one. This other one's going through our insurance company. 3 weeks in, they still didn't have the right radiator for a Ford Transit. A Ford Transit is literally the most popular service van in all of the U.S. We have the most popular engine platform of all Ford Transits, and they're claiming they don't have a radiator. And I questioned them on this when they sent over the emailed estimate to me and my insurance company, and they had the van listed as an electric Transit. And I replied to the email immediately, and I'm like, the van that you have, like, I have an electric Transit in my fleet. The van that you have is a gas Transit. It takes different parts. I need to make sure that you're ordering the parts for the right van. And they said, oh, this is just a weird system glitch. We're going to order the parts for the right van. 3 weeks later, I still don't have a van, and I'm calling them up bitching, and they're saying, oh, yeah, the radiator kept coming in wrong. And I'm like, I know why it fucking kept coming in wrong. It's because you were ordering a radiator for an e-Transit, not a gas Transit. No, that's not it. Bull fucking shit. Right? And so finally, I had to like jump their ass. And this was two Mondays ago. And I'm like, you guys are literally in the job for two things. You acquire parts and you install them on vehicles. That's literally all you do. And I'm not minimizing you. I'm saying that's your specialty.
Yes,
acquire parts, put them on vehicles.
Yes, you were.
That's what you do.
It's okay.
I said in the Amazon day and age.
I've done the same fucking shit.
I said in the Amazon day and age where I can order almost anything and it's on my doorstep tomorrow morning, it is asinine that I have to wait 3 weeks for a radiator. I said, well, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to check with my insurance company to make sure it's okay and it's legal for me to provide a radiator. As soon as they say yes, I'm going to order a radiator. It'll be on my doorstep tomorrow morning. I'm going to hand deliver it to you, only I'm not giving it to you. I'm giving it to your boss. And I'm going to make sure your boss knows that you don't know how to order fucking parts for vehicles. And when that's literally your forte is to order parts for a vehicle and a dumbass plumber walks in and does your job 3 weeks faster than you do, that's going to make you look really bad. And you're probably going to lose your job. I'm not going to say anything
He's
bad.
He's not going to lose his job.
I'm just going to say when a fucking plumber can walk in and produce a part in 24 hours that you couldn't produce in three fucking weeks, that's a problem, right? So I get permission from the insurance company to order the part. I call him back and I say, what is the part number for the radiator that you're trying to order? And he says, guess what? It showed up 2 hours after our phone call.
Yeah.
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 Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
They had 10 of them. They were like, hey, we got to make this shit happen.
Right.
Now.
Right. So,
or I'm fucked.
What I'm getting at, I'm not saying that to like pat myself on the back for being a hard ass or anything else. What I'm getting at,
okay.
I'm saying that because you only get the results that you demand and you require. And the general public of people are okay with their vehicle being in the shop for 6 or 8 weeks on end.
Yeah, they are.
When the shop can absolutely produce results much faster than that, right? I pushed on him. I told him how much profit we're losing every day with that van being out of the fleet.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I lose $8,000 in profit for every $8,000 in revenue for every week that van is out of the fleet. So right now, you're missing radiator that you're telling me might not be in for another week, just cost me $8,000.
Yeah.
The total repair doesn't even cost $8,000.
Yeah, you're right? Fucking me. You're fucking me.
Because the radiator is the holdup on this, and because it's an $8,000 liability for me to wait another week, I'm going to take matters into my own hands, and I'm going to make you look really fucking bad. That's not my intention. My intention is to get my vehicle back in my hands so I can get back to doing my job, and that's produce profit for my company.
Yeah.
Right? In the process, you're going to look like a dipshit. When a plumber can source parts faster than you, who's the expert at sourcing parts, you might not have a job after this.
You see how mad he is.
Oh, I got fucking furious.
He's
right?
He's still mad.
So ironically, that TRT, man. Ironically, 3 days after we got all that, we get the van back. Well, 4 days, I guess.
Yeah.
That was all on a Monday. I got the all clear. Was going to order the part on a Tuesday. We got the van back on a Friday.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Isn't that crazy?
So that's the kind of asks that Elon Musk does. And by no means am I comparing myself to Elon Musk.
You son of a bitch.
In other words,
not Elon Musk.
Don't settle for the status quo. Don't settle for the norm. If you settle for the norm, you're going to get normal results. And if you want exceptional results from your business, you have to perform and require exceptional results and exceptional input from anybody you're working with. If that's vendors, if that's your team, if that's your customers, it doesn't matter. If you demand exceptional, you're going to get exceptional. But if you're just riding the business along for whatever results it may naturally give you, you're going to get natural results, which is, if you're lucky, 6-7% net profit, which isn't all that great. You could probably invest your money into the stock market and yield better results than 6-7%. So
that's a topic for another day.
It is a topic for another day. But
I do like that topic.
Even if they're similar, why would you take all the risks of owning a company and putting that many vans on the road and everything else for the same results that you could get if you just plunked that money into the stock market?
Well, because of...
initially you don't have that money to plunk into the stock market.
Right.
You got to work for 3 years, then get the money, then sell it, then take the money, then put it in the stock market. Now you're okay.
There you go.
I don't know what to tell you.
But
if you had that money to start, you wouldn't have fucking done it to begin with.
Over those 3 years, you're not settling for average results. You're settling for exceptional results.
Of course you are.
So
wrap us up, Mitch.
If this show brought you value, it was longer than normal.
Yeah, we had to call it four. Come on, wrap this bitch up.
If this show brought you value, if it made you think about things in a different way, if it makes you curious about other avenues for business, make sure to share the show with somebody else who might be wanting to hear it. But also, if you're ready to take your business to the next level and you're ready to get serious about winning in today's world, we do this thing we call Tradewinds, where we work directly with you and help you grow your business. We have conversations much like we just had about like the automotive dealership. Literally last week, I had a conversation with a Tradewinds member who, paid a vendor about $3,000 to repair a truck. And a week and a half later, his truck's on the side of the road, broken down again. And he's asking for help navigating through that. And so we instructed him to stop payment on his $3,000 payment and take his truck somewhere else, because the vendor didn't provide results. Right.
Yeah.
And so literally stuff like that happens day in and day out. And if you want guys that are in your corner, they're going to help protect your money and your family's future, check us out for Tradewinds. We do some pretty badass stuff there. So until next week, guys, we will see you later.